This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We did it. We made it to a Wednesday. It's hour one. Dan and the Danettes. Dan Patrick Show. A few things to talk about. Gang's here, including Fritzy, the least valuable, least improved Danette from 2023.
How about that?
And off to a great start for 2024. You may go back to back. Seton O'Connor was the most valuable Danette, and Marvin the most improved. And once again, Paulie happy that he didn't get any awards.
Open mantle.
877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. Good morning if you're watching on Peacock. That's our streaming partner. Download the app if you haven't done so. This first hour brought to you by TireRack.com, the official tire expert of the Dan Patrick Show. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan, easy-to-use tire decision guide. I used it a couple of days ago when my daughter's had a flat tire. Called, got a hold of TireRack.com. All of a sudden, send me tires overnight. Next day, I go in, I'm a hero. Yes, Todd?
And you don't have to tread lightly with them. They're
Thank you, Todd.
The whole PR department.
All right. 2 minutes and 9 seconds in, and now you're dominating. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Stat of the day is always brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Seton has a lot of duties here on this program. One of those is to come up with a poll question or two every day. Seton, do you have said poll question?
We're curating poll questions these days. I have a few of my own. Paul sends them in, which is always helpful. Usually like a Thursday T-O-double-D situation.
Oh,
nice.
Okay.
I was going to go with this. Right. Or at least one of the many options we can run through in this segment.
Okay.
Like. Right. Would you rather David Tepper pay $300,000 or randomly have a drink thrown in his face?
I would rather he got a drink thrown in his face by whatever Jacksonville fans were there when he threw the drink on them. David Tepper got fined $300,000. He is on video at an away game for him, and he threw a drink in the direction of some fans who probably were taunting him a little bit during the game. So $300,000. NFL whiffed on this one in a big way. Don't let him go to the game. I mean, that punishes a billionaire more. You can't go to the game. You put them in timeout. $300,000? Yes, it is a lot of money. Not to a guy who's worth $20 billion.
Timeout is great.
It is.
Because it's like, it's the perfect thing for a petulant child.
Yes. That's what they should do. The commissioner should have said, hey, you know, I know, the I work for the owners. You do work for the other owners, and that's what you're doing. You have to set an example here. This was embarrassing. You know, this guy's been an embarrassment since he got into the league. He blows through coaches and quarterbacks and other sports, too. He doesn't just, you know, fire people in the NFL. Don't let him go to the game. Make him sit out. Now, it, you know, if you're David Tepper, given what you've been seeing on the field, you might go, God, thank God I don't have to go to this game. I would have him sit down this game coming up. And I would probably have him sit down the first month of the season, next season. Take that away from him. not, you know, $300,000. I don't think that's going to hurt him. I mean, to the regular person, I understand that amount of money. To him, I don't know if he understands. Everything that, I mean, he'd write a check for anything. It's accessibility that he wants. He wants to be there. He's the owner. Hey, look at me. Final game of the regular season. You know, let's knock Tampa out of the playoffs. Who's with me? And then he says, now, did a great job, whoever the PR person is with David Tepper. Nice job. Didn't sneak by us. Didn't get this one by the goalie. Give me the first, I don't know, 5-7 words here, Paulie.
Sure. This is from a statement from David Tepper. I am deeply passionate about this team and regret my behavior on Sunday.
Okay, right there. So because he cares so much, he's somehow validating throwing a drink on somebody? Or that's why it happened?
My love for the team is to blame, not me.
Yes. Okay.
Next one, the second line of the statement. Not an apology statement. I should have let NFL Stadium security handle any issues that arose.
Okay, so now it's on them, not you. Like, maybe I was in danger, and security should have stepped in. So he's already blamed two different groups here.
And then he finishes with, I respect the NFL's code of conduct and accept the league's discipline for my behavior.
Okay. There was never an apology in his apology. When you say, I regret my behavior, that's not an apology. Yes, Todd?
What would be the amount where he would say, although it was a bit excessive, I understand the fine.
A billion dollars. It doesn't matter to him. Money doesn't matter to him. Being a billionaire who owns an NFL team, that matters to him. That's why he's doing this. You got to sit him down. Don't let him go to the game. That'll punish him because that is the NFL's timeout. David, go to your room. No dinner. Timeout. Yes, Eden.
I don't know exactly at what point in wealth your life changes to where life is just like all yes men around you.
Yeah.
Right? It's probably somewhere around $100 million, I think. If you have that, there really isn't a lot of people telling you no anymore. Okay. Right? And I'm guessing he hit that $100 million threshold a hell of a long time ago.
Yeah.
Right? So he probably hasn't had anybody say no to him in a very, very, very long time. And this is the product of that.
I think it's a great point.
And this is, he's, right now, I'm guaranteeing you, there are dozens of people around him being like, but the fans were yelling at you. What are you supposed to do? Not defend yourself? What? Dude, this is ridiculous, David. Well, I think the league did this wrong. You know, this is the product of everything, this whole world around you being cultivated towards everything that you want.
But everybody's a billionaire in the NFL, and there are, you know, these owners who know how to handle this success or lack of success, and they don't throw drinks on people. He's new to this, but you're right. He's probably been told for a long, long time. You're right, David. You go, David. You're the best, David.
You could do this better, David.
Yes. You could be the best owner, David. Yes, Paul.
I think the other thing with billionaires, there's lots of billionaires in America. I mean, like, it's probably thousands of billionaires, but a lot of them aren't famous to the average household. And when you buy a team, NFL, NBA, baseball, you buy the thing that money cannot always buy is fame and notoriety and being the man or the person. And, you know, Mark Cuban, I'd never heard of that guy till the day he bought the Mavericks. Then he became famous. David Tepper didn't know one thing about him, but he bought relevancy. He bought fame that he would been wanting his whole life. And here it is.
Well, that's why Daniel Snyder was kicking and screaming going out the door. He didn't want to give up the team. You know, he wants to be the owner, win a Super Bowl. Hey, I got a yacht in south of France, and I've got billions of dollars. And you know what else I got? I got a football team. That's what matters to these guys. Because there's only 32 of them out there, and they don't come up for sale very often. All right, what other poll questions do you have there, Seton? By the way, the NFL didn't have a good day yesterday, in my opinion. First of all, they should have cracked down harder on David Tepper. Second of all, the NFL actually had this to say. The NFL said to all the teams, they sent them a video on how to remind linemen how to report that they're eligible. So now they're putting the blame on the linemen instead of the official or officials who made the wrong call. So you're saying it's the Lions' fault, NFL? A lion's share of the blame there, Todd. So when you send out a reminder video, did the Lions do something wrong? Was there deception? You can make that argument. But should that referee have known who or asked to clarify? This is what happens. When you go and you say, hey, I'm tackle eligible, you have to rub your jersey in front of the official and you try to do it verbally. I don't know how loud it is down there. Then the official announces to the crowd, 70 is eligible. Goes to the defense and says, 70 is eligible. That's how silly this is. The official made a mistake and thought 68 instead of 70 or 70 instead of... made a mistake. That's all. And all you have to do is say, I made a mistake. Do you realize how big that playoff or that game could be come playoff time for these two teams? And it came down to why. You were rushing, you made a mistake, and this is where you have to have total transparency on making sure you get these calls right. Especially with the amount of money that would be bet on a Cowboys game. I mean, the Cowboys are a 2 seed right now because of that game. The official, if the Cowboys go to the NFC title game, if they go to the Super Bowl, we'll come back to that. Yeah, Paulie.
How about this? What if you remove the rule that you have to report to the ref? If you want to go up to the line of scrimmage and the tackle on the left side is the last guy in the line and he's an eligible receiver by the formation, it's up to the defense to diagnose that in the moment. Why have all this rigmarole and announcements and take away the element of surprise? You can do your formation the way you want.
Well,
whoever's on the left side, whoever's the end is the end. Yeah. And just because he's named number 77, let the defense
figure it does out. Take away the element of surprise. You know, that's where I'm always surprised when a defense is surprised when they go, I didn't know Mike Vrabel was going out for a pass.
Imagine MLB had, the rule around the hidden ball trick is you have to announce to the other team that you're considering the hidden ball trick.
Yeah, it is silly when you think there's certain rules where you go, okay, you tell me you rub your stomach and then I go, okay, you're eligible. Okay, then I get on the loudspeaker and then I tell the defense and then you're still surprised and you allowed it to happen. Yes, Eden.
Why can't everybody just catch the ball?
Yes.
Let's go all the way back to the beginning. Why is that guy not allowed to catch the ball? Why is that guy too far down the field? Lyman, too far down the field. That's bad. Why can't he run further down the field?
Hey, when we play in the backyard, everybody's eligible.
Yeah, no, you get a yard and a half here. That's it, or whatever the hell that dumb rule is.
And then get back to 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi.
Oh, no, you can't catch the ball. Sorry. For some reason, you're not allowed? Why?
Yeah. You were the center.
What the hell? Why not?
Yeah. Yes, Marvin.
Two completions is a first down. Come on. Backyard football.
It'd be so much better if we ran things. Think about it. Us five? Yeah.
Yeah.
Two completions is a first down. That's a
that
great
is
rule.
Good.
That was so good.
Yeah. That was the best.
Nick Bosa, 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi. Yeah. And
you jumped it too soon.
Come on.
Or you say Mississippi too slow. Come on. One Mississippi.
We're off and rolling.
Didn't we have all-time quarterbacks when you played football? Remember there's a person who played quarterback for both teams?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because they were good.
That was me. I'd be quarterback for both teams.
One kid who could throw.
Yeah, I could throw. Yes, Todd.
Especially when that ninth person shows up, and just when you're going to have a 4-on-4 now, how do we figure this out? It's an odd number. I guess someone has to be official quarterback.
It is an honor to be the official quarterback of both teams. Yeah, it is. But you can't tackle the quarterback, you know. If I needed to wear like a red or pink jersey just so they wouldn't hit me. Yes, Marv.
Yeah, quarterbacks, not real football players.
No, we're not.
No, why are you doing football stuff? Why would you hit Will Levis? Why would you run into him? Crazy.
Yes, Todd.
Did you play 5 Mississippi like scramble or dead, where scramble you can keep scrambling around, or once you hit 5 Mississippi, the play is over and it's the next down? We played like both of those. There were different versions of that.
No, we just did. You couldn't go after the quarterback until 3 Mississippi, but after that, we didn't have too many rules.
I was curious.
Okay, thank you, Tom. I guess you did do that.
You did.
That,
sometimes it would be scrambled. Sometimes it would be dead. Plays over. You didn't throw it by the end of 5 Mississippi or something.
Oh, okay. So you'd have to be three Mississippi and then start your count again for one Mississippi to get up to five Mississippi?
We would just yell, like, whoever's the giver that doesn't guard guarding somebody would hand it to the quarterback, and you do the Mississippis, and then five Mississippi dead. I mean, you didn't get it. Basically, you were sacked, or it's incomplete because you didn't throw it at that time. Or you could scramble around and try to get him with two hands, and that would be a sack.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
There you go.
All right. Did you guys play tackle or two-hand touch?
That was touch. We've played tackle before, too, with those plastic helmets that you get at the sporting goods store that are supposed to just be on a shelf and not to be...
Oh, you wore those?
I did wear one of those. I had a Bronco one with an old Rick Upchurch jersey, and we're banging heads, and we didn't know what we were doing, but those had no padding.
That explains a lot.
There was no material in there. That had no business being like on
the
football field.
No, you shouldn't. You know, they say for display only.
Yeah, you just take that sticker off, and you put that thing on and go out in the grass with your friends.
And those things, when you get hit, and it's just plastic rattling around your head. Yes, Marv.
You only play two-hand touch when you're on the street. And you go, car!
Yeah.
Everybody move. But if there's a large field of grass, always tackle.
Nothing was better than being out on the road, and then you would practice those sideline passes with your brother, and then you have to get both toes down. That's what we would do. It'd be like, car!
Go to the back bumper and cut left. I'll hit you right there.
And then we would just do down and outs, and then you try to get both feet in bounds. Yeah, Paul.
The Nerf football was such a great invention for kids because it saved so many broken car windows, broken fingers. For little kids, that Nerf football is very helpful.
Yes, Todd.
And then it would fall in a puddle, and now it's a gigantic sponge that weighs 15 pounds more.
All righty. I don't know what we've accomplished, but we're 16 minutes in. So,
let's go.
Yeah. How is Moran today? Don?
I think it's great, actually.
Okay. Marvin, how about you?
After this convo?
Yeah.
It's through the roof.
All right. Paulie, you good?
Crushing it.
Seton, how about you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Operator standing by. Tyler, take your phone calls. Settle on our poll question. A little bit later on, we'll check in on the Carolina Panthers. Also, Ryan Leaf from the NFL Network will stop by. We're back after this. Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut, the new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes.
And me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Well, it's Scott Fowler time. Charlotte Observer sports columnist. He's been doing it since 1994 and had some things to say about David Tepper, the Carolina Panthers owner, fined $300,000. And as Scott says, will he take the punishment to heart? Scott, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Dan. I heard what you said earlier, and I am realizing I only come on your show when bad things are happening.
Yeah. Let me go back to the incident. When you first saw it, what was your reaction?
Oh, gosh. When I first saw it, I guess I just dropped my head like, oh, man, this is, here we go. Here goes the next 3 days of my life dealing with this. And it's been about 3 days now. So I was not, you know, terribly surprised because, as we call them around here, Tepper tantrums, they do occur. But this was a different type. It was far more public and just a silly thing to do.
What did you think of the punishment?
Not enough, I thought. I thought the fine, I mean, Bud Adams, as you may have mentioned, was fined $250,000 in 2009 for shooting the bird twice. And 14 years later, I feel like inflation should have up that. Plus, I think this is more personal, Dan. In my southern vernacular here, I would call such an incident just plain nasty. That was not cool. I mean, especially in the post-COVID era, to throw a drink that presumably has germs on it and stuff in the direction of some people. So I thought more like, as I wrote in the column, I thought more like $1 million might have been a nice round number here.
I just kept thinking, if you want to punish a billionaire, don't let him go play with his toys. You just say you can't go to the game. Because $300,000 is a lot to everybody in America, but to a guy worth $20 billion, I would embarrass him. I would give him a timeout. And so I thought he got off, you know, with slap on the wrist with $300,000.
That's a good point. The suspension, I wondered about that too, Dan. So you think he should have been. I really thought they were going to probably suspend him for one game. And, I think he's embarrassed anyway, because I will say this about Dave Tepper. He likes to consider himself a man of the people. He likes to think of himself as the billionaire next door, as a guy who you might have a drink with, as opposed to somebody who's going to toss a drink on someone. I think he likes that perception. And so this has hurt, I think, it's been embarrassing for the Panthers to have this sort of thing dominate the news cycle for a day or two. But certainly a suspension would have hurt even more.
Why not get this out earlier? Why not the team and Tepper right away? Like, why are we waiting 2 days for this? And it's not an apology that he put out. He doesn't.
No, it's not.
I mean, he didn't learn anything from this. And yes, he might be embarrassed. When you blame your passion, Scott, so your passion is the reason why. All of a sudden we go, okay. It's like when Andy Pettit was using steroids. He said, "Why? I wanted to get back and help my team." Well, okay. Everybody gets to use steroids. I mean, Tepper, whoever the PR people, they tried to sneak this one by the goalie.
Yeah, I have no idea why. Two things. One, that the word apology wasn't contained in this three-sentence statement. He said he had regret, but he didn't apologize to anyone or just say, "I'm sorry." America loves to forgive people. We've all seen that. I mean, but the road to forgiveness begins with saying, "Hey, man, I really messed this up. I am sorry." And then, you know, secondly, I just think it may be the deep passion thing. You think about it the other way. A lot of fans are deeply passionate. So what would happen if a fan took a drink and threw it on a player, an owner, or anything?
Yeah.
A lot worse than this.
Scott Fowler covers the Carolina Panthers, been a sports columnist in Charlotte since 1994. Finish this. If the Carolina Panthers had the number one pick in the draft this year, they would do what?
Mm. probably trade it for assets. I mean, I don't think they draft, you know, Caleb Williams or something. I think, of course, the new coach will have a lot to say about this, that they're going to be sold on Bryce Young at least for one more year. Of course, they've traded it away to Chicago. But what they really need, if they were going to use it, Dan, they might, you know, if they had it hypothetically, Marvin Harrison or something. Okay. I mean, they need weapons so badly here. They never score any points. They got shut out last week. I mean, it's been a horrendous year in a lot of ways. Take out the drinks and everything else. They're just a bad, boring offense.
But if you're looking at this team right now as they move forward, is this a place where a coach wants to, like, would Bill Belichick want to have this kind of owner?
I don't think so.
Or Jim Harbaugh want to have this kind of owner?
Harbaugh and the Teppers talked last year, at least the intermediaries. So maybe. But, you know, you'd certainly think the Plum here is wherever you can go coach Justin Herbert, a valued talent and an obvious NFL star. Here you got to be sold not only on Dave Tepper, you got to be sold on Bryce Young, because that's the quarterback they're going to give you. So on a rookie contract, make it work, you know. So if you're Ben Johnson or somebody, and you know they've fired, Dan, three different coaches in 6 years in the middle of the season. Three times that's happened. Ron Rivera, Matt Rhule, Frank Reich this year. So that's, I think, really the real sticking point. If I were a coach, I'd be like, I don't want that stain on my resume. I got to have some time. I got to have some guarantees.
When Christian McCaffrey was traded, what was the local reaction in Carolina?
The local reaction was mixed. Of course, people love McCaffrey, and there's still a lot of 22 jerseys in the stands here in Charlotte every Sunday. But I tell you what, Christian McCaffrey was very beloved here, and one thing people did say a lot was, good for Christian McCaffrey. He's getting out. It's like he'd been released from Shawshank or something. You know? And boy, has he never, you know, I know he's sitting out this week, but he's never been hurt. Ever since he's left, he's had the best stretch of his career. So, I mean, people are happy here, I suppose, for Christian. But that, DJ Moore, I mean, those were their two best weapons. They're both having career years in other places this year.
All right. Let's take a bet. Do I get a hold of Scott Fowler before the start of next season? Will there be a reason? Marvin, you say yes. Todd?
No doubt.
Okay. Well, no doubt. Paulie?
I like Scott, but I think the owner's going to go silent for a few months. I'm going to say no.
Okay. Seton, what do you think? Do I get a hold of Scott Fowler before the start of next season?
I believe we do. Yes.
Okay. I do too, Scott.
Well, that's, I guess, reassuring.
Well, you know something bad's going to happen.
Well, I'm your man for that.
Yes, you are. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
That's Scott Fowler, Charlotte Observer, sports columnist since 1994. You got to have a sense of humor there. You know, as a beat writer, you would love that there's something to write about. Like, you want your team to be interesting. Doesn't mean that they're good, but you want them to be interesting. You can be extreme, either really good or really bad. Yeah, Marv.
I think around draft time, the Panthers do something incredibly dumb, and we call Scott.
You mean like last year?
Oh, exactly.
I like how there's this debate going on in Chicago. Do they keep Justin Fields? And I was like, I would say no, because you have to factor in, how much am I going to pay? When am I going to pay Justin Fields? Fifth-year option? Then I got to pay him if I franchise him. That's the part of the equation that normally you would just go, let's look at the talent. Is he a franchise quarterback? And is he the right quarterback for this team? I'd still love to see Justin Fields in Atlanta. I just think that offense, wasn't used correctly, but they do have a lot of talent there. And I'd love to see him go in there. Russell Wilson, maybe with a team like that, is a possibility. But I like Justin Fields, but he's not the quarterback for my team. I like watching him. I'm entertained by him. But it feels like they got some momentum here with that. I just have to factor in the economics here of, do I want to spend that kind of money? It's like Dallas. You're going to spend $60 million on Dak Prescott. Top 10 quarterback, $60 million. Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons will be the highest paid defensive player. He'll get $30 million a year. Then you're going to have CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is going to want $20 million. So now you got $60 million Dak, $30 million Micah, $20 million. So you're at $110 million, give or take a dollar or two, for the Dallas Cowboys. Because these players have been successful. And now you're going to have to pay for that. And that's why when I go to Justin Fields, is he going to be worth that money? Or do we take Caleb Williams and reset the clock with our rookie quarterback? Or do we take Drake May or Jaden Daniels? Is Matt Eberflus going to keep the job? It seems like he is. And then is he going to say, hey, you know, let's keep Justin Fields, which he probably will. Coach isn't worried about the money. Coach is worried about who's going to be his quarterback there. But if you're Chicago, do you trade away that number one pick? Do you trade? You know what? Somebody told me this yesterday. And I said, what is Justin Fields worth? They said, maybe a third-round pick. And I go, a third-round pick? Paulie said he saw a second-round pick. Now, maybe it's, you know, like multiple picks for Justin Fields. But, you know, you are getting somebody that you're going to have to pay. And I would, it just feels like unless there's somebody who comes along and you go, I can't pass up on that guy. Like that guy is too good that there's always going to be another quarterback and another. So you could have five quarterbacks taken in the first round and at least four. I don't know if Michael Penix goes in the first round. Seems like he would, but I'm going to have Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, at least five. And you get 2 years. It's like you got a 2-year lease on your car. And then you just trade it back in. They gave Justin Fields three. You know, Danny Dimes got more time than he should have. But it's now 2 years. Like Bryce Young. This next year, now it gets really important for him. Because what happens is when you aren't successful and then they bring in another quarterback, now you get, you know, pushed down the totem pole a little bit. Now you start the process of, I got to go to another team to try to become a starter again. And there are a lot of quarterbacks who have done that. You know, Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith has done this, where the quarterbacks go, okay, didn't work out here. Let me go some other place. Ryan Tannehill did that. And that might happen to, you know, these quarterbacks here, this draft class. All right, a couple of phone calls here. Brandon in Rochester. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Good, bud.
Just wanted to call in today. I didn't get a chance to get in yesterday to give best of the week, and then I got an idea for some merchandise.
Okay.
So best of the week. Last week, my wife, Sarah, and I welcomed Grace Margaret McKnight into the world.
Weighing in at
7 pounds, 4 ounces, measuring 20 and a half inches.
All right. Got the height and weight bell there.
There you go. So idea for merchandise was came about yesterday when you guys were talking about a possible onesie. Obviously swapping a bunch of those out right now. So idea for the onesie, maybe Krappensburg State could get involved to help pay for some of the production. DP onesie would be perfect if it was just Shad of the Day.
Shad of the Day. Bop, bop, bop. Shad of the Day. There you go. Thank you, Brandon, and congratulations on little Gracie being born there. How about that? Seat in a Krappensburg State onesie.
Yeah.
Hello.
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 Hello. Jeremy in Tennessee. Hi, Jeremy. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Long time, first time. 57185. So, a couple quick things. First, I heard on another show this morning that in Joe Flacco's few games with the Browns, has more touchdowns than Kenny Pickett does in his career.
We can check on that.
Yeah, and then also, I have a pie of the face bet, preferably for Marvin, being the resident Niners fan. But any takers, I believe that the Ravens and Niners are both eliminated in the divisional round of the playoffs.
All right. Marvin, you want a piece of that?
Yeah, I'll take that.
All right. You got to take her there, Jeremy. Pie to the face. Marvin's signed up for that one.
Right. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, that's a hot take on Jeremy's part. Very hot. James in Colorado. Hi, James. What's on your mind today?
Hey, DP. First time, long time, 6 foot, holiday induced 215. Happy New Year to you and the Danettes and even Fritzy. Hey, just a quick comment. Your discussion about Joe Flacco and comeback part of the year eligibility brought up a funny memory to me. Hey, remember years ago on the ESPYs, they had a comeback part of the award and a comeback part of the year, and the Bill Murray was the presenter.
No, I was on stage with him, James. Thank you for noticing me. But yeah, we were at the ESPYs. I'll take it from here, James, since you didn't realize that I was up there for that magic with Bill Murray. Michael Jordan got comeback player of the year, I think, coming back from baseball to basketball. Monica Seles got stabbed on a tennis court at a tennis event. And Michael Jordan won. Even Bill Murray's like, we can't hand this out to him. Like, Monica got stabbed. And so here's Michael coming on via satellite, or now it's called Zoom, but we're handing him comeback player of the year because he came back from baseball. Monica Seles got stabbed by a fan.
On the court?
Yes.
On like mid...
Reach out. She was sitting and stabbed her in the back. Mike came back from baseball.
And the reasons why he went to baseball are questionable.
Yes, yes, yes.
He may have been forced to go to baseball.
Yes.
He stabbed the Bulls in the back for a season and a half.
Oh, those ESPYs. We'd hand out these awards. If somebody showed up, we'd come up with an award. And here's the award for the guy who wasn't going to get an award. And the winner is. We were trying to make it like real and valid and important. And then it just kind of devolved into silly stuff. Oh, my God. Yes, Todd.
I will say the transition from baseball back to basketball, you know, can't be overstated.
No?
I mean, it's a totally different muscle grouping. You have to retrain your body.
Yeah.
You know, the whole stabbing thing, but.
Yeah. You imagine Monica Seles gets word that she's nominated for an ESPY. Now, granted, back then it didn't mean as much. So
that's what she said to her. Get rid of the pain.
Honored to be nominated.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when she realizes that she's lost to Michael Jordan. Wait. What did he come back for?
Somebody made that decision.
Yes, they did.
Somebody was like, I think we got to do Jordan.
I have an idea who made that decision. And it might have been more of a collective. But I just remember when we were talking about it, and then Bill Murray handing out the award with me, he goes, we can't do this. And even when Michael, congratulations, comeback player of the year. You're going, oh my God. Yeah, we did it. We did it. Take a break. Back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. as a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. It's the final hour on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes. Dan Patrick Show. Our good buddy Ryan Leaf, college football NFL analyst for Westwood One and also NFL Network, will join us here in the final hour. Sunday Night Football, it's the final game of the regular season. It's Josh Allen and the Bills, and it's Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins. You can see it Sunday night at 7 Eastern on NBC and Peacock. 877-3DP-SHOW. If you'd like to dial us up, operator Tyler is standing by. Good morning if you're watching on Peacock, our streaming partner, and our radio affiliates. Now we're up to, I think, 398 cities in America.
Wow.
We got to get to 400. We do.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's just make up two affiliates somewhere. Todd, just make up one.
KLPK.
All right. Let's go.
The Lion.
Thank you. What city is it in?
It's in just outside of Sioux Falls.
Sioux Falls.
Yeah, just outside.
No name.
I don't think I ever told that story where my wife slipped on the ice in front of me, and then I said, my wife is Sue, and I go, oh, Sioux Falls. And it was the, I thought, a great line, but not the best time to say it, as she's still on the ground.
Oh, so she was on the ground. What's like an hour later?
No. And she slipped, and boom, and I went, Sioux Falls.
A little insensitive on your part.
It was just... I need a little bit of breathing space there with the line.
The paramedics liked the joke.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I said Sue Falls, and her name is Sue. That Jim Patrick's a funny guy. Used to be on SportsCenter. All right. Poll question for the final hour of this program is going to be what, Seton O'Connor?
Well, Dan, we had, which AFC team do you want to see in the playoffs? Right now, the Bills are running away with that one. We're just putting up the NFC version
of
that, where you have the Jags, Bills, Colts, Texans, Steelers.
All right. Let's bring in Ryan Leaf, the aforementioned college football NFL analyst for Westwood One, NFL Network, and the number two overall pick by the Chargers, 1998 draft. The David Tepper fine for throwing a drink on some Jacksonville Jaguar fans. $300,000. Ryan Leaf says what?
Great. I mean, it's a, what is that, like a tip jar for him?
Is that enough?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, this, the behavior that you can control from a billionaire owner who's seemingly shown everybody that, you know, he has real control issues, I think, and that was showcased. I don't know if $300,000 for a guy who's a billionaire in terms of what that is means anything to him. I mean, he might find that in his cushions of his couch. So,
well, I said suspend him. Like, don't let him go to a game.
Yeah.
Because that's the value. Steve Ballmer is one of the richest men on the planet. He gets to go to Clipper games. You know, take away that team, then I think that's more painful. Give him an embarrassing timeout, an NFL timeout, send him to his room and say, you can't go for the last game of this regular season.
Yeah, I mean, that's the job of the commissioner if the commissioner wasn't intimately involved with the 32 owners or 31 owners. You know, it's he works for them. So it's got to be incredibly odd for the, your employee essentially to turn around and go, I'm going to fine you $300,000 for your indiscretions. It's just an odd relationship in general. It's a privately run company, and it's weird to that. I wonder how that money turns around and comes back to him some way, somehow.
It's true.
You know?
It's true. Bryce Young, how would you assess what, like, if you're looking at handicapping him as an analyst and a former quarterback, what would you say to Carolina fans?
I'd say usually you have to see how a player is going to react, right, when you go through adversity like that, when people are tossing the bust word at you and saying you're a failure and all those things. How are you emotionally mature enough to deal with it? And I think Bryce Young's an incredibly mature, emotional young man. I really do. So I don't have any fear in him being able to weather it and doing well and getting better in year two, regardless of who is at the helm. My only fear is the team is awful. I mean, there's no skill position players. They have not added to it. They would have the number one overall pick if they didn't trade it away to the Chicago Bears. So that's my bigger issue. This, when you get drafted first or second or third overall, you're going to a bad team, period. And you have to have, I would say, generational ability to change the culture and the environment of a football team. It's rare. You got Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. You got Peyton Manning in Indianapolis. It's just an individual that can walk into a building and he can change the environment that he's in. And that is incredibly difficult when you don't have the skill position players. And that's where they're lacking right now. They don't have the draft picks. They don't have the money. I don't know if any coach worth his merit really wants to go there because of the ownership. Somebody's going to take it because they're going to get paid, you know, generational wealth. And so it's a tough spot. It was tough sledding. I think C.J. Stroud probably is thanking his lucky stars that he wasn't the first overall pick a year ago.
If I said to David Tepper, you could redo number one overall pick.
Well, I think that from what I heard from it, it was his influence on Bryce Young.
But let's say I said this to him privately. Publicly, he can't say, well, no. I take C.J. Stroud. But well, but if I said you could redo this.
I have a question about that. Okay. I have a question around whether C.J. Stroud in that Carolina Panthers uniform is any better than what Bryce Young has been this year.
That's fair.
It's the team aspect of things. I understand the quarterback gets so much of the recognition, both good and both bad, when things go right or wrong. But it is a team game. It is the ultimate team game. If all 11 aren't functioning on the same level every single week, it's not going to be successful. And everything gets laid at the feet of the quarterback. I really have a problem with the idea that if you put C.J. Stroud in Carolina, they would be they'd be vying for the playoffs in the NFC South right now.
Yeah, but we're making the Texans roster sound like it's a lot better than what it is.
The offensive line was incredibly good to start the season.
Yeah, but the skill position, if I said they got Dalton Schultz, nobody's going, yes. I mean, and even some of these other receivers that kind of came out of nowhere. I don't know if, you know, it wasn't like it's a Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs. You know, Tank was wonderful. He got in. Nobody knew him.
Anybody who was down in Houston knew him, but because he went to the university there. I think that C.J. Stroud makes players better. I think his
Who was a better quarterback?
I had C.J. Stroud, as you know, going into the draft as my number one guy. That was far and away. I thought there was a sizable difference between the two. I thought the size was the big difference for Bryce Young in terms of, you know, what he looked like in comparison to Kyler Murray, because Kyler was such a stout guy downstairs, his baseball background, yeah. You know, and just the size was going to give Bryce Young a problem, unless you had an offense that really was structured around him, and then you go and fire the guy that you brought in to do that, and his quarterback coach, you know, midway through the year. So, I mean, it's been exactly how first overall picks sometimes when they go to bad teams end up. New coach, all the things, new offensive coordinator, all the things that go with that, and unfortunately, it's going to be tied to C.J. Stroud's success. If they were to win this weekend and go to the playoffs, boy, that's even a bigger insult to injury on that draft pick.
How is Joe Flacco doing this?
I am so impressed with Joe Flacco. Now, hey, I'll say this. And I've been coming on your show for years, and Paulie and McLovin back in the day, you know, we'd go out and do crazy stunts, right? We're in New York, we're throwing the ball up through the window. You know, we can still throw it. That's never going to go away. We always will be able to throw the football.
What goes away?
I think the burst, right? When you want to get out of the pocket, the burst, flexibility, mobility, all those things. But what I also think goes away is your ability to read things as quickly and decipher
but
as quickly.
But Joe never had a burst.
No, and he never needs one. And he doesn't now because he deciphers and disseminates what goes on the defensive side of the football. And I think Kevin Stefanski and him really have a connection in terms of how they see offensive play, you know? And they're not afraid to let him just toss it around. Like, you know, what was it, a few weeks ago where he threw the three interceptions plus the three touchdowns? It's not a sink or swim when it comes to that. They know they're going to have good, positive things. And the dismantling of the Jets the other night, I mean, wow, that was the most points ever or second most points ever scored by the Browns in a first half, 34 points. That's crazy to think, and Joe Flacco's doing it. They are in a really good position because they may have a walkthrough in the AFC wildcard round, and then they're right in the divisional, most likely against Baltimore, essentially, unless somebody behind him wins. And they've won there this year. So, I mean, you put Joe Flacco and what they're doing offensively in a position with that defense. I mean, Cleveland's a real problem in the AFC for some people, I believe.
We're talking to Ryan Leaf, the former college quarterback with Washington State.
Go Cougs!
Yeah, and in the NFL with the Chargers. We're now working for Westwood One and NFL Network. You know, sometimes when you're looking at a team, you're trying to figure out just how good they are. And at this point of the season, I don't know if I know how good Kansas City is. I don't know if I know how good Miami is. And I don't know if I know how good Dallas is. And those are three teams that could go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I would argue that I think you know more about Kansas City. You may not know who they are this year, but the pedigree, the evidence, there hasn't been no evidence that Miami or Dallas will do anything.
But how do you overcome bad receivers?
Well, I mean, we had good receivers, and they had to overcome a bad quarterback a lot of the time. But I would say that I think the game plan will do that. I think Travis Kelce's got to step up. I mean, he's been missing in action for the last few weeks. I think it's, what, 6 or 7 consecutive weeks without a touchdown
catch. Yeah, but how does that happen?
Playoff football is a different deal, and they know it better than anybody. It's where they live.
But I'm saying, Travis Kelce, how are you MIA?
How are you MIA? Well, I think people take defensive measures to take him away. I also think that there's been a diminishment in his athletic ability just because of the age and the beating he's taken over his career. I do think that is real. I think, you know, time.
It does feel like it's starting to show a little bit.
It is.
But I don't know if it's ever, is it that abrupt where it's like, oh my God?
I think so.
I mean, it feels that way when I watch, and sometimes I'll see Watson making an athletic play, not Travis Kelce. But I think it's Kelce just out of habit.
I've called two of their games in the last 5 weeks. And so I've seen, you know, he's been open a lot. There is a mistrust right now with Patrick Mahomes in terms of what is being called, what he's seen, and what he's willing to go through a progression. I mean, in that Raiders game, he had a ton of guys that were open. He just doesn't have the same confidence to let it go like he has in the years past. And not much has changed in terms of the wide receiver position from last year to this year. Juju Smith-Schuster was really the only difference in all of this. And so that's the big thing for me. I don't worry too much about Kansas City in the playoffs. I think they're going to host the first round most likely against, well, I think the Bills go into Miami and win, so that means that Miami's going to go to Kansas City in week one of the AFC wildcard weekend. And I don't think Miami's able to go to the cold and get the win there, all of that. So I think you go to a divisional round, you most likely go to the Bills, and you just don't know. I have more faith in Kansas City, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, all that because of their past. And until somebody actually steps up and does it, I'm not going to not ride with them when it comes to the playoff time.
All right, you have to throw it to one of these guys.
Yeah.
Game on the line.
Game on the line.
Kadarius Toney or Valdez Scantling?
Kadarius Toney, because I'll probably throw it to him behind the line of scrimmage, then his athletic ability can do it. MSV for me has just been just missing in action, down the field, wherever he's at.
Forget how to catch a football?
I don't think you forget how to catch a football. I think if you look at the amount of drops that have happened, it isn't a dramatic amount. Justin Watson's the one that leads the team and leads the league, I think, in drop passes. So that's the guy you got to be looking at more. He's unfortunately MSV's been on the field and taking more snaps than anybody else, and just isn't being targeted enough because of the things that people are speculating and what Patrick Mahomes has to see. You can go back and look at some of the games from the Kansas City Chiefs this year, and at a point, you could have had them at 12-1 through 13 games with the outcomes of those games. The Kadarius Toney drop for an interception in game one. You got the MSV non-interference call in Green Bay, the drop pass in Philly, with Philly, the Kadarius Toney lining up offsides in the Bills. All those games are down the stretch. So you flip a coin there. Where they were thoroughly beaten was the game I call on Christmas Day was against the Raiders. I mean, they didn't belong in that game at all. Max Crosby owned the Kansas City Chiefs in that game. So I loved how they came back last week when they were down, had an understanding of what they had to do. They shut out the Bengals in the second half, and I think that was meaningful, and they got their eighth consecutive division win.
I love watching Max Crosby.
Me too. I got to see him before the game. We haven't gotten to see each other in person in a while. As you know, him and I have a lot of things in common, and I love him to death, and that's the first thing he did. He just came, picked me up, and told me he loved me. And
did he contact you when he was going through substance abuse?
He didn't contact me personally. We have a mutual friend because they care about us who works inside and with the NFL players. And since that time, we've just been there for one another. That's what we do.
Could you imagine have played in Vegas when you started out?
Not with the way, if I was who I am now playing in Vegas, it would be amazing because I would be centrally focused on what I needed to. All that and other nonsense wouldn't exist, and I would get all the great things that come with it. What I love about Darren Waller and what I love about Max Crosby and so many others that are gone through some of the things they've gone to and come out the other side and are in recovery and doing that in the NFL is that they're still doing it in the prime of their careers where they can be great. If I would have been able to find that, if I would have been accepting to what that could be at the time, imagine me being able to play in my prime with this type of mindset. That's a regret that's always going to be there. Now, I'm incredibly grateful and amazed at what this life has given me now at 47 years old. But those two in particular have just been sources of great inspiration for me. And they're, a decade and a half younger than me. So that's amazing.
Would you still be alive if you started out in Vegas?
I don't know. I wasn't a hard drugs guy, though. I was an opiate guy, and I didn't use when I played. I thought competition was my drug of choice. I would go out and binge drink with the boys, and that's how I felt better about everything. But I never touched a drug until after I was done. I'd love to blame that I was a poor quarterback because I was drugged out all the time, but I can't do that.
I'd just go with that.
I might. It's a good excuse. Well, if I wasn't an absolute train wreck.
But what did it give you?
The opioid?
Yeah. That
It numbed me. I was so sick and tired of feeling
like... But you couldn't have played football?
No. I know people that have used and they'll go out and play basketball or... I couldn't. And I also didn't want to waste it on anybody. like a pretty girl would want to go on a date or something like that. Nah. I was like Gollum from, the Lord of the Rings and it was my precious, and I was that guy. In the dark, blinds closed. It was mine, and I didn't want to feel anything. That's what it did for me, and I think it's done that for a lot of people. But it's a terrible disease, and one that had a hold of me for a while.
Well, look at you now.
Look at me now. I'm in the man cave. Am I the only guy that comes into the studio anymore?
Chris Sims has been in here. Ross Tucker's been in here.
Well, Ross, because he hosts your show too.
Yeah. Sandler was in here.
Oh,
yeah. Sandler came in, shot hoops.
Do you remember the story? Was the Indianapolis, the Super Bowl, and he was previewing a movie, and he grabbed us, and we went.
That's my boy.
That's my boy.
And that was Ciara was in that movie.
And we walked into the theater in the back at the end, and he sat next to me, and I was I was probably a month away from being arrested for the final time, and I was just still kind of just teetering on. But he sat there next to me, and he just kept looking at my reactions to it, what I laughed at and everything like that. And he talked to me and it was just so kind and everything. That's something I remember. And I don't remember a lot of the stuff when I was going through all that.
But now he's finding out you were stoned at the time. So
I wasn't stoned at the time. I was counting the seconds that we could get out of there, that I could get back to the hotel and take my pills that night. I know I was, I was doing that. So instead of just absolutely, look where you're at. You're sitting next to Adam Sandler watching one of his movies. Dan Patrick and the Dan Ants and everybody like that who've cared for you forever. And you're just, all you're thinking about is this. So, yeah.
All right, we'll come back. We'll talk some college football. Also, coaches you think are safe, coaches you think are going to get fired in the NFL. We'll take a break. We'll continue with Ryan Leaf right after this. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFT partner of the Dan Patrick Show. Do you have all your trading cards? Do you have all your football cards?
I don't. But I, my dad's best friend, Wayne, when I turned pro, he went nuts. And he got every single one. And he's got them. They're all lined up. They were all lined up on his pool table for years and years and years. And I get one sent to me all the time to sign and things like that. But I don't have many. I have a starting lineup action figure.
Yeah.
Two of them now. One for MacGyver and one for Bo. MacGyver's pulled it out and he runs around with it. But yeah.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Ryan Leaf staying with us, college football NFL analyst for Westwood One, NFL Network. Has his own TV show, The Straight Line, with Ryan Leaf. Also travels the country, speaking about substance abuse, mental health. His story, in his own words, available where you get your podcast, Bust, the Ryan Leaf story. When do you get to the point where you embrace that word, bust, or you don't try to fend it off as much as you used to?
I can use it. No one else can. So it pisses me off, and I can be resentful, and I can point it out because none of you have any idea. But I can use it. And that's what I did. I used it for my benefit. That's the way I look at it.
Were you a bust?
I don't think any player who has ever been drafted and played in the NFL is a bust. I think the team made the decision because we had no say in where we went. Now, if I would have had the decision and said, okay, I'm going to go to San Diego as a second overall pick, then it's all on me. But I didn't make that decision. Their choice was to say that he's the second best quarterback in the draft, and we're going to go with him. Was I more of a, let's say, a third-round guy? I had the talent probably of a first-round guy, but maybe not the mentality of a first-round guy. And so there's a lot of that goes into it. I think that the ability to evaluate quarterback play shifted and changed a lot with our draft, just the way my mind worked, how they evaluated it, who they talked to. But they still, you know, you still make mistakes. You just never know on the things that you and I talked about before, how to quantify what life-changing money is going to do and what failure at the highest possible level is going to do. But now that NIL has been introduced, you are going to get to start to see how life-changing money may change the mindset, behavior of these young quarterbacks coming into the league. So I think that will go a long way to help the evaluation process.
But do you think getting money sooner is going to help these players before they get to, you know, when they get to the NFL, that they've already gotten $1 million?
Yeah, I do. I think that you're going to find out. I think people are going to find out pretty quick. They're like, you know, they're not going to be a first overall pick if all of a sudden they were given $1 million, $2 million while they're in college. And, you know, the Ryan Leaf show happens. You know, that's, you're not going to be taken with the first overall pick at that point. I don't care how talented you are. They're just not willing to take on that liability and that risk anymore when you have such talented players available right behind them.
What do you think Jim Harbaugh will do? What do you think he should do?
I think you and I talked about this last time on the show about what the next step for him is. I think if he wins a national championship, I think he walks out and takes an NFL job and looks for the next thing, the Super Bowl championship that he's missing. If they get beat by Washington, which is a real good chance that happens, I don't know. I mean, it's just seemingly over the last 3 years, they've been the best team in the Big Ten and fallen short every single time. They got over the hump with Alabama. Is that the next thing? I don't know. I love Jim Harbaugh. You know, as you know, we go way back. I want success for him.
Can he have that style that he has in college? Can he replicate that in the NFL?
Yeah, he has. He's proven it.
But is the NFL going to be the same as it was when he left the Niners?
I think he'll be just fine. He is a player's coach because he was just one of the guys. He was a guy that could play almost into his 40s because he knew what the locker room was, felt like. And you've seen how he's dealt with the players there, talking about how they should be included in revenue sharing, all the things that have really pissed the NCAA off, and I do think has become a real target because of some of the things that he said. He's got the players' backs. They love him to death. I mean, they're willing to wear free Harbaugh shirts running around after he's been suspended for 6 of the 13 games he's been in this year. It's crazy, or 14 games. So I think he'll do just fine. If they were to win a championship, I do think he walks and heads to the NFL.
What do you do if you're the Bears?
You keep Justin Fields. I've been adamant about that ever since after the Denver Broncos game and the Washington Commanders game where he played it lights out. Then he got hurt. Came back and he's played incredibly well. They're going to have a ton of draft stock. They're going to be able to move that number one pick. They probably can find a way to get Marvin Harrison Jr. or who I think the best wide receiver in the draft is, Roman Ndunze. and make a real difference for this young quarterback. It's don't stop before the miracle happens. And that's the thing in the NFL a lot of times. You just walk off and you leave assets at the door when...
Is he a good enough passer?
I do think he's a good enough passer, yes. I think he's improved. I think he'll continue to improve. I think this offseason, the fact that they're keeping their head coach and Getsy's going to be the guy, offensive coordinator-wise, that's going to be the first for him to have back-to-back.
So if you're Matt Eberflus, you're betting your job. Ryan Poles, the GM. You're betting your job on if you keep Justin Fields and it doesn't go well and you passed on Caleb Williams or Drake May or Jaden Daniels. You're willing to do that?
Yes. And I don't know if they are. I am. I'm willing to ride with Justin Fields. You're exactly right when it comes to Ryan Poles. If he moves off, which I thought he might. I thought he might move off of Matt Eberflus, and he might move off of Justin Fields, which I think extends him maybe five more years to do a rebuild.
Yes.
So doing this, saying Matt Eberflus is coming back, and the more and more I hear that they're going to utilize that number one pick to get a ton of draft capital and keep the quarterback that they think could be a difference maker, I think he does put his job in jeopardy, and I think that's good. I think there is some investment. I think there's some desperation in what that looks like, and they're all tied to it and in together. If they all believe that with one another, if Ryan Poles has sat down with Justin Fields, with Matt Eberflus, and said, hey, I got your back, because that's what we're looking for so much as players, from ownership, from the front office. We want somebody to have your back, and if they don't believe in you, they're not going to have that, and it's just going to be this up-and-down thing that you play, and you cannot be successful. You cannot be a champion at that level if you don't have that kind of that backing.
How would you feel if you're Russell Wilson?
Awful. Awful. You guys have heard me talk about Russell, and just because of the relationship with his mentor and one of my great mentors after I got out of prison, Trevor Moad, and how that affected him. And just to kind of... The narratives are always hilarious to me. And the caricature of a person who's made out to be who they're made out to be in the media and all this thing, no one ever really knows at all. But the fact that a guy that's making $250, $230 million is a sympathetic figure in what has played out is a bit hilarious to me because, yeah, it sucks. You know, they wanted him to take a cut into his paycheck and do something differently, or they were going to, you know, sit him down. And Sean Payton and him don't seem to see eye to eye, and people thinking, Matt, you know, Stidham's going to be just the same. I think that Russell Wilson's still an elite quarterback. I think he can play. It's just a matter of where the system is and where he goes, and who knows where he goes next. But
okay, but let's say he said to management, all right, I'll restructure this. Why not do that?
I think that would have been calling their bluff. And
yes, that's what I would have done.
Yeah.
I'd be like, all right, I'm going to restructure.
Whatever you need. I want to be a champion here with you. Let's do it. And I think they all looked at each other in the meeting and went, nah, we're good.
But how does Sean Payton take this job knowing that he's got that contract there with a quarterback that he may not like?
I mean, I don't know what the hell Sean Payton's doing.
I mean, he wanted the Chargers job, and it didn't come open.
Yeah.
Because then you got your Justin Herbert, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
And you're in L.A., everything's... Then all of a sudden you go, okay, you got Russ, don't have, you know, a first-round draft pick. And now
you don't have a second because they traded away for you, Sean Payton, too.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so
I just don't know why he took that job.
I don't know why he took the job other than to get paid a bunch of money.
Yeah, but he was going to get paid. He was going to get $15 million or whatever it's going to be. He'd get that. But I just don't know why you'd go into a situation where you knew that quarterback is locked up for a long time.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Sean Payton's. I used to be. I don't know why that shifted. I just think some of the things that he's done this year, and I actually stuck up for him a few times because I thought it was benefiting Russ. But
yeah. He's yelling in your face. That doesn't normally happen with a head coach and your star quarterback.
Can you imagine in my heyday if he would have done that?
No, you wouldn't have done well.
Oh, no. Well, I would have done fine. He would have been buried under Mile High Stadium is what would have happened there. I give Russ Wilson a ton of credit.
You would have gone Sprewell on
him. Yeah, that dude would have been P.J. Carlissimo's ass out, right? And I couldn't believe that on Thanksgiving. And it's the only game everybody's watching.
I know.
You know, it's the only one on TV. And he's berating this man here after just, what we heard maybe had been that Russ didn't take enough time for him to analyze to see whether he should have challenged a couple of those plays. Whatever. Your job as a coach, don't take it out on the quarterback at that point. You know, do that in private. I loved Russ's response as he just took it. You know, in respect. But yeah, it's been a rough year, and you always find out the most about people when they have to go through the most arduous and adverse conditions of anything.
Ryan Leaf here in studio, Westwood One analyst, also NFL Network. You're still high on Michael Penix Jr.?
I mean, am I the first one, really? Had you heard much about him when I came on the show and said I would have taken him one overall? I think in last year's draft, he would have been one of the top two quarterbacks taken.
Do you think Penix would have been over Bryce Young?
I think I don't know if he would have. If I was doing the work then,
okay.
Yeah. I've been high on him for 2 years now. He's been the best quarterback in all of college football for two consecutive seasons.
But why is nobody else on this bandwagon? He's probably fourth or fifth.
The injuries. From
at Indiana?
Yeah. And I'm like, well, he's gone and played, what, almost 30 games in the last 2 years, injury-free.
Feels like Bo Nix had more momentum
than
Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah. I've been on the I murdered by LSU people before the Heisman because I was so adamant about how Michael Penix Jr. was the Heisman Trophy winner this year.
Okay,
and he's just been the best leader, and where I think it translates to the NFL level, the best is because of what Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb do offensively. It is very pro style. It is. If you line it up to what you see the best offenses in pro football right now, they're very similar in terms of leverage, numbers, and he's had the wide receivers that he's going to deal with at the next level too, guys that are elite, those wide receivers. But I've never seen a player, I don't know how long, maybe since Joe Burrow, with those receivers being as accurate down the field as Michael Penix Jr. has been this year. Those passes that go 40, 50 yards down the field, it's like, he couldn't have placed it if he ran up to the guy and put it in his hands better than what it looked like against Texas. And what strikes me as so ironic is this is the first time a lot of people in the entire country watched him play. And they're just like, what? He's been that guy for the last 2 years. He has been that guy. He'll continue to be the guy. And whoever gets him at the next level is going to have a heck of a franchise quarterback. I do believe that.
Well, we're lazy. We watch highlights. I always tell people, watch an entire game with a quarterback. Because then you're going to get a truer sense of highs and lows, interception, what do you do after that? You got sacked, what do you do after that? You make something happen. Whatever it is, that's when you get a true sense of a quarterback and leadership and intangibles, all of those things. When you watch the highlights, it's easy to go, God, that guy's unbelievable.
That's what I think in the broadcasting world and being an analyst is set me up for success. I've watched every single snap of every NFL game this year. Everyone. And I know there are other guys that are like that.
That sounds like punishment.
I think it's not. It's so much fun. Come on. It's absolutely the funnest thing in the world. And what NFL Plus has been able to do with the condensed game, 40 minutes of just the play, and then none of the nonsense of the guys talking on the TV about it, I think that's been a game changer for me in terms of how I have become an analyst, and I think will be sustainable for me to be able to do it for a long time because of that. And my little baby girl, who's 4 weeks old, just sleeps on my chest. You remember Three Men and a Little Baby?
Yeah.
And Tom Selleck is reading the Sports Illustrated to the baby, but doing it in the voice of like how you talk to babies. And they're like, what are you reading to her? It's like, he's talking about the big heavyweight fight that a guy knocks his tooth out or bloodies him up. She's like, you can't read that to her. She doesn't understand. I'm just doing it in the right voice. So I'm laying Claiborne on my chest the other night. Anna's watching it, and I'm watching Washington Texas game, and I'm doing the color commentary, but I'm doing it in the voice. And I just see this little girl just looking up at me like, and I just thought about that. And I said, I'm pretty lucky. I'm a pretty lucky guy.
But she likes to show up to hear Herb Street, though. That's the weird thing about that. You know, it's your daughter.
It puts her to sleep.
Yeah, she.
That works.
Better college quarterback, you or Herb Street?
I'd go Herb Street, probably.
Really?
Ohio State, right? Isn't that better than Washington State? That's what everybody tells us.
Oh, here we go. Okay. All right. Wait. A little pity party. Nobody likes the Cougars. Hey, Pac-2.
Hey, Pac-2. I think we're going to, I'm putting this out there right now. Apple, buy us. I'll be your color commentary. All right, let's do it.
You can be the commissioner.
I think.
You can't do worse.
I could do worse.
I don't know.
I was the commissioner of a fantasy football league in a prison cell. So that's
wait.
So
you
that's
ran. Worse. You ran fantasy in prison.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think my name was just on it. Oh. It got me extra ramen every week, I think, is what it was.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. It was all about hustling in there, you know?
All about hustling. Yeah.
Yep.
Take your word for it.
Yep.
College football NFL analyst Westwood One and our favorite, Ryan Leaf, NFL Network, and he'll be on the call. You have the Division 1AA or FBS, whatever the damn
FCS,
thing. FCS. So it's Montana?
Yep.
South Dakota State?
Yep. It's the Jackrabbits and the Grizzlies.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right, so that's Sunday.
That is Sunday up against the NFL games.
Of course.
We'll win that battle easy.
Why not Saturday?
I don't know. I haven't questioned it, but maybe when I get to Frisco here in the next day or
Frisco,
two.
Frisco, Texas.
Frisco, Texas, I will ask that question. I'm like, yeah. Why not on Saturday?
Yeah, nice Saturday, early afternoon.
Yeah, early afternoon before the late kickoff of the NFL.
Yeah.
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 Maybe we can change it. Maybe you and I.
I'll do my best.
You know,
I'll do my best.
And then we can confuse Grizzly people, and maybe they'll miss it completely, and not get a chance to hear me call it. Grizzly people are not very happy that I'm calling this game.
You're from Montana.
But I'm a Cats fan.
Oh, Montana State.
So they're not happy about it.
Supposed to be unbiased.
I will be unbiased, but they don't think I will.
Did they recruit you?
They did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that you turned them down.
Well, they had the greatest quarterback in college football history that came out of Montana, Dave Dickinson. They didn't need me. Seriously, guy's a college football Hall of Famer. Walter Payton Award winner. Went up and won a Grey Cup in the CFL. Dude is, and he grew up a block away from me and was my hero growing up. So yeah, I'm a big fan of Montana quarterbacks, but the fact that I get to call a national championship.
That'd be good.
It's a resume builder. It is. How many people get to call national championships, Dan?
I'm going to tune in and just try to read into your bias there.
There won't be any.
Yeah, probably be a little bit there. Nope.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
From the versatile EQB to the sublime EQS sedan, Mercedes-Benz makes electric extraordinary. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. The choice is yours. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQ.